With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
The NPL show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Hello and welcome to October's edition of the EvoStick NPL show.
Yay! Where the dominoes?
No one else.
Russell the dominoes! That's a real pub feel now, the dominoes, excellent.
We're recording this on Bonfire Night, so expect more explosions as the night goes on, and more booms, and more bangs, and more banger bangs.
Round the table,
we're joined by the great and good, the voices that you've all come to love and loathe, to discuss another month of EvoStick Northern Premier League action. Yay. Right, so around the table, we've got Roy Sewell, the beautiful manager of New Mills.
Good evening, folks.
We've got Stuart James from the beautiful blog, The Non-League Review.
Good evening, folks.
We've got James Hayes from the beautiful NPL Facebook group, sponsored by EvoStick.
Evening.
From the beautiful BBC Radio Manchester, we've got Ian Burke, otherwise known as Burke.
Hi, everyone.
And here's Swampy from SCUM Radio. Hello, Swampy.
Thanks, Ben.
You're welcome. Right, so, another month.
Well done, by the way, Stuart. Well done for your first endeavour on BBC Radio 5 Live.
You've been on 5 Live?
Hang on, I have as well. Come on.
Oh, lads, when you're on every week, then you can say and use that word. But until then...
As we said on EvoStick Extra last week, you know, we're making headway. We're getting people all over the place. We've got Flanagan on the Mirror as well.
We're running the BBC and the media outlets of all the country in the next 2 or 3 years.
That is the plan.
It is the plan, isn't it? Yes.
So anyway, another month gone, and still Skelmersdale are out in front. And I'm going to start this conversation with Burke.
Yeah, well, this is terrible because I haven't seen Skem yet this season. However, a mate of mine says that they've regressed. I've got spies here, there and everywhere, mate. And I was speaking to Paul Phillips, the manager of Ashton United, the other night. He was on our show, interviewed him, and he was saying that Ashton beat him 1-0 last week. And he was astounded that they only beat them 1-0. He said it should have been 3-4, maybe 5. And for a team that's top of the table to be losing comfortably against a side who, you know, the slap bang in the middle of the table, really, admittedly away from home, it's just... I'm not convinced by him from what I've heard from other people. And this is terrible. Skem fans are going to be giving me loads of abuse and whatnot, saying, well, you've got to see us. But, you know, people I've spoken to who do know what they're on about, saying that they're not great... But they're still winning.
After part one, we've got an interview with the press guy from Skelmersdale United, the beautiful Neil, who's going to...
Oh, beautiful Neil.
Beautiful Neil. Yeah. Everyone's beautiful. The world's a lovely place.
With the exception of me.
Stuart James, you had a point to make, or were you just...
No, I was at that game, Skelmersdale versus Ashton United. I don't think it should have been 3 or 4, no. But I think Ashton were comfortable winners. On the night, though, the game got delayed by, what was it, 30, 45 minutes?
Skem
got there late, 30 minutes late, they were stuck in traffic, it was a bad accident. So I don't know if that had anything to do with the performance on the night, but I don't think it was 3 or 4-0, like Paul Phillips was saying. I think Ashton were comfortable winners, though.
It's early November, so Halloween's just been.
Halloween as well, Ben.
Roy, if Berkey's correct, and Skelmersdale possibly have regressed, has the league regressed worse than Skem?
No, I wouldn't say so. No, not at all. I think
have they regressed more, better then? If that makes sense.
I do understand what you're saying, and most probably some of the listeners know what you're saying. But what I will say is, I don't feel so. No, I think quite a few clubs have upped the stakes, to be honest, and all fairly evenly as well. I think that's why it's quite a decent contest, you know, at this moment in time. Just so happens that Skelmersdale have basically made the wins, you know, count for themselves, where they're ending up with like a, I think it's an 8-point lead, you know, at the top. So what they need to do is just basically maintain what they've already done, you know, up to now. Whether they play outstanding football or not, it's 3 points what they're after each week.
And again, we have an interview with Alex McKenna, and the question is asked, okay. Wow. Are Skem going to keep up?
I think they are, personally. I think we touched on it last week as well, didn't we? I think Buxton and the team are starting to lose a bit of ground now anyway. Because if you take the games in hand now at the moment, Skelmersdale 5 points ahead after your games in hand, nothing like that. It's a good lead to have at this time of the season.
They've got the best defensive record in the league at the moment, and that counts for a lot. They've played 20 games, so they've played more than everybody, at least one or two games more than everybody else. They've still only conceded 15, they've scored 27. They're there for a reason, and it's consistency. I've seen them a couple of times this season, and on those performances, you would argue, how are they top? It's not the games that I've watched, it's all the other games that they've played, all the other games that they've continued to win. They've got a manager that knows the game inside out, they've got a good squad, they play football in the right manner, and I expect them to be there. And the other thing as well is, last season, they perhaps overachieved because they came straight out of the previous division. This year, they've started off very, very well. They know what it takes to continue throughout the season, and I think they've done a tremendous job. You know, and I really do believe they are going to be right up there when it comes to the end of the season. They'll be looking to consolidate to make sure that they can get promoted, hopefully.
They do have that tradition, though, don't they, over the last few seasons of falling away from March and April.
And I said no, but apparently, according to Alex McKenna, got to take it with a pinch of salt, obviously, he says that they had a reputation for that in Division 1 North as well.
Yeah, they did, but obviously they all came out after three seasons of playoff finals. I'll just leave it in every time. But
how do you overcome playoff final and semi final defeats? How do you do that? Do you want to know?
I mean, one thing we can certainly say.
He doesn't know it's been that long.
We can certainly say, if everyone's saying that Skemmy will be on the decline, well, they're actually safe. They're not going to get relegated.
No. Well, good. 43 congratulations, Skelmersdale.
So, I mean, that's
there,
what, you know,
there
anyone at
the
bottom will be looking for, a minimum of that kind of points to stay up. They've done well, 43 points, and I'm pleased for them because they play attractive, decent football. They've been put to the sword in a couple of times I've seen them, but they still go out and play football, and that's what fans want. That they enjoy, and they need a few more fans probably getting behind them and watching them because the football is attractive and they're a good football club, you know, a Lancashire football club.
So good news, Skemmersdale aren't getting relegated this year. That's brilliant news.
If they've not played great so far this season and they're up there, they've just made two good signings as well. In Meaney and Bacco from Wharton Albion. So they've strengthened as well in the last week or so. So if they've not played that well and they've just made two good signings like that, they're not going to get any worse, are they?
They'll learn the lessons from last season. They will have to learn the lessons from last season because this is an important division. And to get promoted to the next stage for them is going to be a tremendous feat. And good luck. And
turn your phones off.
here come the clowns.
Speaking of clowns, last night we both commentated on... we're recording this on Bonfire Night on Wednesday. Last night, quite an entertaining game up at Silverlands. Buxton against FC United of Manchester. 1-0 bizarrely. Even though the first half, I have to say, Buxton, one of the best sides I've seen this season.
Buxton started off with tremendous pace, purpose, quality. Jamie Green, quality player. Tutton...
Sutton's amazing.
Sutton was absolutely outstanding. Niven in the middle of the park working hard. You know, you've got...
you mentioned the left-back.
Taylor. Well, Green was the left-back. You've got Taylor, the number 11. You've then got, you know, a couple of players. King that came on at half-time. The introduction of them, Reed. But they've got quality all over that pitch. You know, and FC United...
I mean, so what happened?
Well, they were the better team in the first 45 minutes. FC United went down to 10 men. We're not quite sure whether or not... Matthew Wolford should have been sent off. It'd be 186 appearances for
Let's not get into the detail. But is this all part of Buxton at the moment? The stuttering form of Buxton is...
Yeah, you say stuttering form of Buxton. I mean, the second in the league. If I was going to look at a team and you were talking about maybe Skelmersdale in regression, I'd look more at Curzon Ashton, to be honest. I mean, that to me is the team. I know John's had a couple of injuries, you know, to... contend with, and but that's part and parcel of the season. You know, that's why you accumulate so many players, you know, to make yourself a stronger squad over the period of time to actually carry you through these periods. But I'm looking at the league and I see a team there in King's Lynn that could possibly, if they win the games in hand, you know, be right in amongst the shelters for the league.
And while we're talking about King's Lynn, thank you to the league for sending me to King's Lynn on a Sunday. on the 28th of December. Yeah, thank you for that. Anyway, you had an epiphany moment there.
I did, Ben. Curzon, I'm absolutely sure we'll have learnt a lot from the last couple of weeks. They lost against Belper and against Workington in consecutive games. Belper, bottom team in the division. Workington, they were 2-0 up at half-time. And they just took the foot off the gas, apparently. You know, they'll learn from it and they will kick on again. They're such a good, organised side. Yeah. I think, I can't see them finishing outside the top five, put it that way.
They won't get... What was that, Stuart? It was wise words, it sounded like.
They won't get relegated.
Quite right.
The one thing that's true to say, certainly about Buxton, is if Buxton play 90 minutes like they did against FC United, let's say 90 minutes like they played in the first quarter,
tear through the league.
They will absolutely be up there because they have got... They're a very, very good team. But the one team we haven't spoken about... I know he gets very excited when you mention this team.
It's a direct question to James Hayes. James Hayes made a prediction last week. It was quite a bold prediction. Not a lot of people listen to the Evo Stick Extra show.
I know they don't.
Yet.
Let's make that prediction now. What did you say about Ramsbottom United?
I can see them really, really pushing for the playoffs.
That's not what he said. He said they were definite for the playoffs.
But what did he say at the beginning of the season?
That they weren't
going to.
Go on. I've been saying it from the start of the season, though, that they're in with a good shot. They had that terrible start. I think they lost four out of the first five, didn't they? But that was never going. That was always going to be a false position. That they're a good attacking side. They've scored the second most in the league after Ilkeston, who I don't think we should discount either. I know they're in ninth, but they've got a few games in hand. And Ramit, they play the best football in the league for me. They really do. They drew last night 1-1 with Wookie, but... styles make fights there, don't they?
There's so many teams. If we mention Ramsbottom, Buxton, there's another team, Trafford, who played such attractive football.
There's a difference between playing attractive football and actually being resolute in your defending as well. Mm. And I think the problem with Trafford is it's not necessarily a gun-hole approach, but they've got the likes of Shelton Payne can score them goals, but they're leaking a huge amount of goals. But I think what you've got to be... And I think the team of the season so far... For me, from where they were, the first game I saw against them, I can't believe how well Barwell have done.
Yep.
Absolutely tremendous. It really is.
Definitely.
In sixth spot, 17 games.
Do you remember that opening game of the season?
Exactly. And then we saw, didn't we, the first couple of months, they were right at the bottom, and the way they were playing, you were expecting them to get beat. And look at them now. They've done absolutely superbly well. But Ramsbottom, just going back to them briefly, last season I said... They were the best team next to Blyth Spartans that I'd seen play FC United. And I've not ever changed my mind on that because any team that affords three players up top from a corner, anyone that plays the kind of fast-flowing forward-style football, because when they have the ball, they don't knock it around at the back. They put it forward, not balls over the top.
Oh, it's not back to front as quick as you can.
We're talking... Bang, 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 bang. And that's what Buxton did last night against FC in the first 45 minutes. But they are doing it week in, week out. And I'm really pleased for Ramsbottom because it's a cracking club. It's a great venue to play at.
And just to throw in another surprise, Grantham Town up there as well. Is that a surprise?
It is, considering, you know, some of the troubles that the Vets have gone through, you know, over the last couple of seasons. You know, with losing managers and losing players. But, you know... Through adversity, you know, you gain strength anyway. And I think, as regards Grantham, I feel that, you know, they're one of those teams. But again, whether or not they can, you know, actually sustain it is another thing. I look at the teams that are up there at this moment in town, and I'm looking for Skem, Buxton, Ramsbottom, Curzon, and Kingsland, and maybe one from the group will come out, like, you know, so... That you may be talking about six different teams, like, but there will be someone that will actually come from that group. And I look at...
It's a lot more defined this month compared to last month, isn't it?
Well, the team that I'm looking at, and I feel that they've underperformed up to now, will be Aston United. That's my feeling.
Well,
they've come back, haven't they?
They have, yes. But, I mean, Roy says that I understand where you're coming from. But it would be very remiss of me not to mention FC United, because...
You're an FC United fan.
Well, of course. And the start has been, shall we say, turbulent. In certain games, we've played well. Certain games, we haven't played well. We've had a lot of injuries. New players have come in. But we're still in eighth position. 27 points. That really, this time of the season for FC United, we're just under the radar. We've had five games now, four clean sheets. and a draw last night. Believe you me, FC will be right up there this season because they have got the quality, they have the opportunity, and they're under the radar because no one at the moment is mentioning them. And while we're not mentioning them, that's a good thing because it keeps us out of the limelight.
Let's turn our eyes to relegation momentarily, if we can. Again, I'm going to start with you, James. You said last week on Evo Stick Extra that there are definitely two berths there taken up by teams. Berkey's shaking his head. Would you like now to officially make your prediction for who are definitely and be banned from, which is fine because
I'm probably banned from one of them anyway, to be fair. Obviously the first one's Belpley. I think everyone's I still can't see him picking up points anyway.
They are picking up points, aren't they?
They beat Curzon.
I know they beat Curzon, but that's just a one-off.
Anyone can beat Curzon. Exactly. Look at the league position. I mean,
but then they're hardly Stafford or Drolsden at this point in the season.
I know they're not, but even then I think monetary wise as well, I can't see him really competing. They've been down at the bottom since the start of the season. It's going to be a trend. Even if he can get off the bottom of the league, I can't see him being outside the top four at all this year.
They've shipped a hell of a lot of goals.
They have shipped a hell of a lot of goals. 44
in
at the moment
18 games.
In 19.
19.
Accuracy is what we do.
So scored more than FC, though.
They have scored more than FC.
Worrying less. In defence at the moment.
Who was your second team, just to throw that out there without any...
I'm going
to
shock a few people here. Witten Albion.
Okay. Now, Roy, at that point, I'm going to come to you.
He can't do that. He's got a top.
And at that point, Burke, I'm going to come to you.
Is it 11 in the league they've lost on the spin? Is that right? Obviously, don't make great reading, but I think
new manager
Tony Sewell's going to pull it around. I really do. They won in
made the
trophy
this week.
Yeah, that's it.
Even then,
well, they won in the trophy on Saturday, and it's the start. I'd like to think they'll manage to squeak their way out of it. I do think it's going to be tough for them. You don't go on an 11-match run where something's fundamentally wrong. You know, so something has to change.
Even then, looking at some of the other teams around there at the moment, you've got Blyth Spartans.
I was about to go through this list. Up at the top, you've got teams like Barwell and Grantham, who you would expect to be roughly down there. And obviously, you've got teams like Frickler, who for some reason are proper Jekyll and Hyde this season. But then you've got clubs like Witten, like Marine, like Blyth Spartans, like Nantwich Town, who...
Well, I mean, Blyth have the grace, of, in a way, of only playing 14 games. They're in the FA... cup,
yes,
first round proper.
And we'll be covering that in the second part.
The one that I think we all predicted, because we thought the calibre and quality of the management team that came into Marine from Vauxhall Motors was going to really be a tough test this season. It hasn't happened as of yet.
Transition.
We beat Hyde in the cup.
Everyone beats
Transition.
Swampy's mentioned it is Marine because the management team there is fairly decent, and he knows good players and all to bring in.
They beat Hyde, you know.
I have heard that. I've heard that somewhere before.
At least once a season, I've got beat Hyde.
But also,
apart from Hereford, funnily,
Old Man away.
They never beat
him. But
they exist anymore.
Then we have.
Hang on, come on.
Then we have Blyth Spartans, and like you're saying, they're in the FA Cup. Blyth Spartans have got some quality players, and they're a strong team right the way through. It's a bit of a surprise that they're there, but
home
there
games.
Again.
Lack of home games.
Yeah, massive lack of home games. Yes.
And that's it. But like I say, but Nantwich... Nantwich is the big surprise. You know, they need to start pulling a few...
And they're playing 19 games this season so far.
Pulling a few results around because they could easily find themselves getting dragged into this.
And we have an interview later on in the show with Richard Scott, the press officer at Nantwich Town, where basically the hope is playoffs. So I reckon they will turn it round. Right up to the top of the league now. We've got two interviews coming up. The first one is with Neil Leverbarrow, the press guy at Skelmersdale United. That was conducted by FC United radio reporter Josh Dyson. So there's a couple of us and Yule and that kind of thing. But you get the general gist.
And no vacuum cleaner jokes in it at all.
No vacuum cleaner, no. And after that, we have an interview with Alex McKenna from Buxton. Which
and no
apparently.
Animals were,
no, no, I'm about to say this. I'm about to say this.
You're using my line, go on then.
Revolutionary, the EvoStick NPL show people have produced a piece of audio which can be both heard by human beings and by dogs. So this is Alex McKenna talking about Buxton, but before that, here's Neil at Skelmersdale United.
What have you thought of your start?
What have we thought to our start to the season? We've done well, because
expectations, we didn't think the squad was as strong at the start of this season as at the start of last season.
Yeah.
But
we thought ours was stronger in some respects, and we've met that as well.
That's right. But it's done well, and we've proved. And I think, funnily enough, it's a different way for Skelmersdale this year. We've proved very strong defensively.
Yeah.
But not as strong up front. It's normally the opposite way around, the way Skelmersdale play. Everybody knows Skelmersdale are known for scoring goals but conceding them.
Well, you were always sort of extreme last year, weren't you? What do you think of what have you thought of FC United start the season?
They've done pretty much like they do most years.
Yeah.
They haven't got off to a flyer, but everybody expects them to finish
It's almost become a running joke amongst our fans that, you know, we come on strong after Christmas.
Well, everybody knows you will around the league.
Who do you think will get promoted this season then? I know it's probably a bit early to ask.
Well, you've got a shout. I mean, out of what I've seen, I've not seen you yet, but obviously you've got to be in that. Curzon Ashton, a good side. They're pretty much on the level we are, I think.
Yeah.
But they are well capable of going up.
Obviously, last season, there was teams that you knew for the start that are sort of going to go. But this year, it's a lot closer, isn't it, really?
Well, yeah, the two money teams have gone.
Yeah.
And I think it shows. A good night out.
Well, thanks for that. Enjoy the game tonight. Oh.
Welcome to Silverlands. It's a beautiful, frisky Tuesday evening, and we're joined by...
frisky?
I did, yeah.
It's frisky.
It's cold.
We're at the back of the stand. You know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
What, friskiness?
Yeah.
What a lovely view. For a night match. So we're now joined by Alex McKenna.
Hello.
Hello. Buxton this season.
Yes.
Surprised?
Not really, because the signings we've made over the summer have been impressive. We've got Liam Hardy, Sean Tootin, Greg Young from the Conference North. We made some pretty impressive signings that have strengthened the squad a lot. Because last season, one of the things we missed was something in the final third.
Yes.
To put it in the net, and now we've got Mark Reid, you've got Sean.
The interesting thing is that the core of the team is pretty much the same, isn't it?
Yes,
it's just these additions that have helped you.
That's one of the things Buxton do quite well. We usually retain quite a lot of the squad when we've got the same manager. Under John Reid, every season we had like the same six players, and we built the squad around them. And that's what McIntosh has done well as well. He's kept the same six, seven players and just built the squad around those six players. He's done it quite well.
So now you've got this championship potential winning side.
Don't say things like that.
Can Buxton prove me right?
There's absolutely no reason why not.
Are you? Because it's kind of what's been happening in the last couple of weeks has been interesting though, because the three teams up there, Skem, yourselves, and Curzon, were not running away with it, but you'd opened a bit of a gap,
and
now it's
closed back down.
Closed back down again. What's happening here?
We Buxton are blowing hot and cold recently. We played a lot. The thing was, when we won nine games in a row, we played a lot of teams at just the right time.
Yes.
Because we took Frickley and Grantham and Belper to the cleaners, but defensively, those teams were diabolical. But they strengthened. They strengthened over the few games, and they got better. When we played Grantham, they beat us 3-1 at their place. We drew against Frickley 1-0.
I mean, we're further away through the season now, and you are promotion contenders. You are.
Say,
let you know that, but it's
say
true.
Say that again.
You and Stamford are now promotion contenders.
Whoa,
and Grantham.
Stamford.
And Barwell. It's weird. It's a weird league at the moment.
It is. That is one of the things. This league has been. It's been ridiculously open, and it's great to see because when I first started watching Buxton, it was the FC Halifax, it's the Chesters. They all just completely destroy the league, run away with it, and then we're left in the playoffs, which is not a bad thing in itself, but we want some competition at the top. It'd be nice, which is great to see, because now there's anyone at 3, 4, 5 teams can win it. It's great.
Who do you think has the... assuming... I don't want you to jinx it. Let me say that I think Buxton are going to win the league. As well as Buxton, who could win the league, who else do you think is going to be up there?
I've not seen all the teams yet at the top, but Curzon are a good footballing side. Skim are a good team altogether. They'll do their usual end of season.
Do you reckon they're going to fall off?
It happens every year, so I don't see why
it's happened once.
in the Blue Square in the Division 1 North, it happened season after season after season. And
right, I was unaware of that fact. So maybe Skim are going to fall away. So who do you think then?
I've not seen all the teams to make a judgment, but I think it would be between us and Skimmersdale.
Us and Skim. Okay. Thanks for not mentioning FC United in your little run through there. Thanks for that. That shows how far we've come as a club.
I've only seen you twice, to be fair. But.
Well, on behalf of MPL Evo Stick listeners, come back soon.
Welcome back to the award-winning Magnets here in Stockport for October's edition of the Evo Stick NPL show.
The best NPL show.
The best NPL show in the entire world. Anyway, around the table, we're joined by the usual faces who you already heard in part one of the show. But just to remind you, as is tradition in broadcasting, Roy Sewell is here from New Mills.
Yeah, good evening.
Swampy is here from SC United Radio. And Five Live.
Good evening.
Berkey is here from BBC Radio Manchester.
Hello.
And Five Live.
Only once.
Stuart James is here from the Non-League Review and Five Live.
Good evening.
And James Hayes is here. Right, so.
Of MPL Extra.
Not wearing a white shirt.
Not wearing a white shirt, indeed.
Well, sponsorship now instead.
We should say, James Hayes is the leading light of the MPL Facebook group, the administrator of that delightful Facebook page, sponsored by the glorious company that is EvoStick. Now,
they're everywhere, aren't they?
They're everywhere.
The Southern League now. I mean, you ought to say, in all fairness, and I'm not trying to pick up the EvoStick, but they're putting the money where the mouth is. They really are invested in semi-professional football across the whole of the country, and that's got to be a good thing. Let's hope it sticks.
Anyway, let's move our eyes now to, well, the only show in town. We've mentioned the league, but let's be honest, what we're in it for is a bit of television action. And on Friday night,
Grand Design's on. Come on, let's get come on, then let's go. Grand Design.
On Friday night, I'm going to come to you first, Burke.
Oh,
you know, as Caroline Barker rightly said, you know Sean Reid, right? So, Warrington Town v Exeter City, BBC Two. Probably Jonathan Pearce is going to be there from Robot Wars. It's all going to be happening, right?
Jonathan Pearce will have known. He'll have grown up with all the Exeter players. He'll know them all intimately.
Sergeant Bash and all that, right? Yeah. So, Friday night, FA Cup first round, Warrington Town of Division 1 North, prime time. Are they going to do it?
No, of course they're not. There's 100 places in the league between the two teams, in the football pyramid. On paper, they shouldn't stand a cat in hell's chance. Now, get your pounds ready, because I'm going to chuck out a massive cliche here, but football games are not won on paper. They're won on the football pitch.
Is that a proper grass football pitch or a 3G football pitch? Shut up, Swampy, no one cares. Move on.
3G's the future, as we all know. But anyway,
it is for games in space.
They shouldn't stand a chance. However, you know when you get football commentators in the FA Cup first and second round, and they go, "Oh, the non-league sides are playing really good football." Eh? Well, they might not get that from Warrington, because they are an old-fashioned non-league side. They'll kick lumps out of Exeter City, and they might have to do it. Well,
that's not what they did against North Ferriby.
Well, no, Sean was saying that he changed the tactics a little bit, but then I didn't hear what he said because I think he'd had a few shandies. But the thing is, they did manage to bludgeon the way through. They did manage to beat North Ferriby, didn't they?
They passed their way through.
North Ferriby. They got through to the first round of the FA Cup for the first time in the club's 65-year history. It's a brilliant achievement for the club. It's a great achievement for the Evo Stick League, and I'm made up for them.
Piddle and tosh. I reckon Warrington can do this,
Piddle and tosh.
Have they just signed them, have they? Piddle and tosh.
They're the cartoonists on the Daily Mail. Piddle and tosh. Right, go on.
I can see Warrington doing it. They did it at Curzon, did it a couple of years ago.
They did, 2008.
Yep, six years ago.
With a certain Mr. Norton scoring the winner, I do believe.
And he's not from Gorton, apparently.
No.
But, yeah, it's the magic of the FA Cup. This is fairy tale land for the three teams left in. Obviously, I'll come do my full...
Right, any more clichés you've got?
No, what I would say is that Warrington, in the style that they play, regardless of whether they pass the way through North Ferriby or not, because of the way they play, but also more so the style of their playing surface. It's very hard, it's very bobbly. Teams that do like to play football on it will find it difficult to play under a press game, and that's what Warrington's all about, pressing. getting to the ball early.
Are they going to fit themselves to keep that going?
I don't see why they won't have it, because, you know, at the end of the day, for 90 minutes, non-league players, I'll give them one shout against any pro side and any sort of level.
Roy, obviously it'd be remiss of me to not mention, 4 years ago today, you were assistant manager for a team in the first round of the FA Cup on telly. What does it actually mean for the football club?
Oh, it's tremendous. I mean, the scenario's slightly different with FC United, because there was an absolute unbelievable following for FC that particular night, you know, at Spotlands, and they drove a lot of the enthusiasm and heart, the endeavour, commitment of the players through, you know, and over the finishing line. Warrington apparently are all sold out. They're after trying to get some more seating in there, you know, to up the capacity of the ground and what have you. So they'll have a good local following. But and to be honest, if you're looking at it in respective, that will be their FC United crowd willing them over that line and, you know, giving them that extra edge.
And Swampy's saying that Warrington have played 14, they've played 11. If they win the games in hand, they're in the playoffs.
You know, you made a point about them Exeter travelling up, you know, on the Friday. Again, you know, I get back to that 12th man. Their spectators will have to do the same thing. It isn't a massive ground. I don't know what they're
given 250 tickets, I think they've given.
250 tickets, so they're going to be outshouted straight away, you know.
That'd be just your read.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
You might well be right there, yeah.
We mentioned Warrington Town's league position, and that leads on, interestingly enough, to Sunday's matches. Blythe Spartans, not doing well in the league, really. We mentioned them in the first part of the show. They're in the first round proper of the FA Cup.
Two teams not doing so well.
Well,
in the first
I'm going to throw in
FA
Norton
Cup.
United as well, because Norton United, they're not setting the league alight, are they?
If we just very quickly, I'll just put a very quick point and then go back to the lads. In 2007, November the 5th, when FC United were beat.
Second from bottom.
Yeah.
Because of the way the games have gone against them.
It was accumulation of cup games, weren't it? That's what done it, and we was somewhat like six games behind everybody else, you know. And at the time, I remember talking about this, you know, the same thing, and saying that, you know, once we get these things sorted out, league problem will not be an issue. We will come through, and I think we went on something like was it a 15 game unbeaten run?
That's right.
Just to mention about Blythe Spartans and Notting United, we did have both press officers on the show last week. What do we think?
Well, I've seen Blythe twice this season. FC United have gone up there and beaten them, and then they came down to FC only a couple of weeks ago and it was a draw. They've got a tremendous history in the FA Cup. I really hope they do it. I think they're a tremendous football club.
32 times they've been in the first round.
But Altrincham, of all the non-league clubs, they're the one who can trump Blythe Spartans.
But they've got poor form.
Well, they beat Lincoln last night.
They're indifferent because they lost against Alfreton last week, who are at the bottom of the league. And then they go and beat Lincoln.
You cannot predict what Altrincham are going to do. It's just typical Altrincham all over the shop. They're just so unpredictable. But this is the FA Cup.
I think Blythe will win that game.
More to the point, Norton have had the jammiest run in the last two games in the FA Cup. In the third qualifying round and the fourth qualifying round, they've come up against teams at step five.
Hang on, don't you ever listen to Swamper?
No.
The Northern League is equally as competitive as the Premier Division of Evo Stick.
Yeah, well, they could have come up against a team from the conference and they didn't.
I'd say on the Northern League scenario, I'd say that the top five teams are in comparison. But the fact is, like, going to Blythe, they're a decent side. I've watched them this season on a couple of occasions. They're strong right the way round. You know, they don't really have a weak link within the team. They do play as a team. And they will be well up for a cup battle.
And they're used to it. That's the thing. They've been in it so many times, as Altrincham have. And we've got to, though, as I think we have a duty of, basically, as the Northern Premier League, to be bigging up the teams within our division, and I think we should want our teams to win.
Do you hear that, everyone? Altrincham is literally that 3 miles from this pub.
Yeah, but it's not.
Balls
to you. Yeah, but they're a conference team.
Exactly. I'm agreeing with you.
I am from the Conference North.
You're one of us, really. Let's be honest. It's only a matter of time. Go on, James.
Big thing about Blythe as well is coming back to the you know what I'm not allowed to say anymore.
What are you like? The bracket of death.
The bracket of death.
The bracket of death. Bracket of death.
This is the first. This is the first time Blythe have not played an MPL opponent in the FA Cup at all this season.
Does that make it any less a bracket of death?
No, just think. Well, if things came,
because Altrincham are, you know,
Altrincham are a very, very good side, I'll admit. But it's obviously this is a clash of two strong FA Cup sides
potential
as well.
Potential bracket of death. Potential bracket. Who knows where this could lead? So anyway,
Ben, we need to talk about Norton United, though. In fairness,
yes, right. Let's
lead on to that.
You're going to lead on to Norton United. Let this professional guy be professional. Go on.
So I say, you got two with Blythe and Altrincham. You got two FA Cup legendary teams there. They've both giant killed. They've done it there, and then I really thought this could have been a BT TV match because of the scale of the match it was.
Okay.
My own prediction for that one, I reckon it's a draw.
And a draw.
Yeah. Coming on to Norton United as well.
That brought it on beautifully. That.
How's that a segue? How is that a clever segue? Did you hear that? James's clever way of going from Blythe to Norton was just to predict a draw.
I've done it every time.
What he could have done is use the North East connection, which might be the A1. Yeah.
That would be good. Speaking of the North East, Norton right. United.
Gateshead. Oh, tremendous knowledge, Swamp.
I would love Norton to.
They're hosting Gateshead.
To do something there. Place. Gateshead, I have to say, are a strong, good quality footballing team, and yep. I can't see any other result, unfortunately. I would be glad to be wrong, and I'm glad to see another team from this division, get promoted, get through, but I can't see it against Gateshead. They've got a good quality management team there, top quality players, and they're doing well and playing some good football.
In Hyde's two seasons in the conference, both years the best side that we came up against.
Good times.
Great times. Great times.
Limited great times.
But the best team we came up against both seasons with Gateshead. They're not consistent. That's their problem. And they've just got to make sure that as long as they're on the game or even at 70%, they'll win.
One stat on Norton, they've not played a team outside from above step four so far this season at all in any FA Cup match.
Apart from the Northern League side, surely.
They're step five.
Step two,
step
because
two.
Just one point.
Oh, should be.
But anyway,
should
so...
2-0 Gateshead on that one for me.
5-0. Predicted the score now.
He's been doing it all the way through.
In fact, 6-0. I think 6-0.
6-0 to Gateshead.
Yes.
I'm not going to predict it. I think it's unfair to do so. I wish not the
reason on behalf of everyone in the EvoStick MPL show, please use us as enough motivation to get through to the next round, Norton United. But we wish all our sides the best of luck. Warrington Town, they're going to be playing Exeter City on Friday night. It's a sellout, but it is on BBC Two, and you can join Jonathan Pearce for that one.
I'll be doing an MPL commentary as well.
You're doing an MPL commentary? Twitter commentary?
Yeah.
And on Sunday...
I can't wait for that.
On Sunday, if you're in the North East, head up to Croft Park to watch Blythe Spartans against Altrincham. 2 o'clock kickoff there. And Norton United are hosting Gateshead. Same time, not the same place though. 2 o'clock in Staffordshire somewhere. Now... That is the end of part two. We did say we were going to cover the dude soon, but I'm going to leave that alone for Berkey's benefit. We can cover that on next week's Evo Stick Extra. And the FA Trophy, we'll cover that again on a later show.
Well done to the teams that got through that.
Well, me and Berkey will do our own
disclaimer. Anyway, good luck to all our sides in the Dudeson. Of course, that is all our sides, ironically. And good luck to everyone in the FA Trophy as well. That is the end of part two. Coming up now is an interview with Nantwich Town Press Officer Richard Scott.
Go on, Rich.
Go on, Richard, lad.
And hopefully, if they respond in time, an interview with someone from Sutton Coldfield. But that is the end of part two. We'll see you in a bit. It's the 11th of October, and we're joined by a very special guest here live from the Weaver Stadium. It's Richard Scott, the press officer at Nantwich Town. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon. Well, good afternoon to yourself, and hello to all our listeners of the MPL show. We're glad you can join in.
So, we're at Nantwich. Well, the running theme is that it's going to be 12 for 11 for the season. what's the aim this year with Nantwich Town at the moment?
Playoffs, easily. I mean, speak to all the lads, Danny, the manager, they all want playoffs, or if not higher. I mean, the players we got Adam Jones, Steve Jones, Harry Clayton, Aaron Burns,
yes.
Yeah, they're all players, Ian Howard, another one, Matt Bailey. They've all played at a higher level, or have the quality to take us there to the playoffs. And I mean, if we can keep the lads fit, because I mean, we've not had the best of injury spells. We've had players dropping left, right and centre, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
If they could, if we can keep them fit and playing week in, week out, and we can put in the performances like we did against Matlock a couple of weeks ago here, Marine on the Tuesday night here, there's no reason why we can't make the playoffs.
It might be difficult to tell at this point in the season, yeah, but at the moment, everyone is pretty much all bunched together.
Yes.
It's anyone's for the taking, really, in the player positions this year.
It is, yeah. I mean, even the title, I mean, doing a preview for last night, for the website for last night, for the game today, it was Nantwich, we're a point behind SC United, who sit ninth. Playoffs, we're only 2 points behind. A win today and a few other results going our way, we could even be in the playoffs. We could be there by the time you listen to this.
Well, there we go. Yeah, and that would be the perfect tee up for this, yeah, interview. Obviously, the setup here is amazing. It's a brand new stadium, pretty much. Yeah. It's only a few seasons old now. Yeah. And would you say ripe for the Conference North?
Yes, definitely. I mean, you just come down here, the whole setup, the people. They're all friendly. I mean, you go on, me and Dan, my colleague who do the press, we go on the way coach and the banter's there, and you get the banter, everyone makes you feel welcome. The stadium here is such a lovely stadium. I mean, the fans, we don't get many fans, but when they do start singing, they can make a noise.
So what is your prediction then? You know, this is the thing that's make or break for you, because people are going to look back at this show in May and go, oh, look at him, he's a genius, oh, what an idiot. So where do you think?
What, for the...
For the end of the year.
End of the year. Well, the title is what we want. I mean, yes. But you've got to look at the teams we've got in there. They're all going to be... you got, like, FC United.
My favourite, Buxton,
yeah. Well, we...
The like.
Yeah, well, we beat Buxton away 1-0 on the opening day of the season. Like you say, Buxton, Skelmersdale, Curzon Ashton, they're going to be up there. So I like to think we're going to be challenging up there. Playoffs is what the lads want, what I think the club deserve. And I would like to think as we can be up there challenging for the playoffs. And if we can get there, then it would be great.
Richard, thanks for joining us on the NPL show, and good luck.
Yeah.
Well, not all the best for this game in particular, but good luck for the rest of the season, yeah, after this match.
Yeah, likewise, okay.
Thanks,
thank
mate.
You very much.
Right, we're now joined by Neil Murrell, General Manager of Division 1 South League Leaders, Sutton Coldfield Town. Hello, Neil, how are you?
Hello, very well indeed, thank you.
Thanks for joining us on the show. So, Sutton Coldfield, you're top of the league at the moment, a point clear of Newcastle Town. How are things progressing this year?
Absolutely delighted with what we've achieved so far this season. Toothy did a good job in the summer, made a lot of changes to the playing squad, and improved us. Table's a little bit all over the place at the moment, with teams getting involved in cup runs in the FA Cup and FA Trophy. There's several teams who have got games in hand on us, but set aside all of what's going on elsewhere, we're very happy with what we've done so far this season with only one defeat.
Roy Sewell was tipping you as a dark horse at the start of the season. What was your aim at the start of the year?
To go better than we have done for the last few seasons, where we've usually finished sixth in the table, which everyone knows at this level is not worth a fat lot, because fifth gets you in the playoffs and only the top dogs go up. So we've finished sixth five times in the last six seasons. So we're just looking to go a step better. If we finish top of the pile, fantastic. But if we're in the playoffs, that will be a target achieved.
And tell us the setup down there in Sutton Coldfield Town. Are you all ready for NPL Premier Division?
The honest answer is no, but we are already talking about it because it's part of a longer term plan. When we put the 3G pitch down 3 years ago, it was all about driving the club forward, introducing new revenue streams to help us support the club now and in the future. And once the liability back to the chairman has been settled, we'll certainly have the funds available to compete at a higher level. And yes, we're already having conversations about what we might do should that occur over the next couple of seasons.
There's quite a few impressive Midlands sides who've come up in recent years into the Premier Division. You've got obviously Rushall, who are long established, but Halesowe in Town, Stourbridge. You've got Tividale in the league as well. What's it all like down there? football-wise?
It's an exciting place to be involved in non-league football at the moment. As you say, a lot of activity, a lot of competition. Players know each other, you know, because a lot of them have had times with those respective clubs. We had a game here the other night when our striker who got the second goal, Jordan Adat, came in for one hell of a lot of stick from Grizzly and their supporters. But he came through it, bagged and came off with a smile on his face. So it's just the nature of the beast when you've got lots of teams in the locality.
So at the moment, you're hoping to be up there towards the top end of the table. Who are your main challenges, do you think, this year, 16 games in?
Yeah, yes, a third of the season in. Mikulova, certainly, who looked very strong. Leek, who normally comes strong at the end back end of the season. They've both got games in hand on us. Norton could come back into the frame after they've enjoying that cup run in the FA Cup. They'll have a bit of money available, won't they, to spend on players if they want. So they're the ones that we're looking out for.
But I think you'd rather have points on the board, wouldn't you?
Always. People always say that in the football world, don't they?
Points
on the board is better than the games in hand. But when someone is as close as 3 points behind with three games in hand, I personally would expect Mikulova to go past us. But we go there later this month, so that will be a good time to judge the two teams.
Do you want to plug Sutton Coldfield Town then for the local listeners about why they should be getting themselves down to the football ground?
We've got a super setup here now. I mentioned the 3G pitch. We've got a site that's in use 7 days a week. We're playing some good football. We have got good facilities on offer for people to come and watch football. And it's a good place to be at the moment. It's a good place to be. Tutty's got a team and that is playing some great football. We're entertaining and we're winning.
Neil Murrell, General Manager of Sutton Coldfield Town. We wish you all the best of luck for the remainder of the season, all two-thirds of it. And depending on how well you do, we might have you back on.
Ah, oh, that would be lovely. I would welcome that and thank you.
Thanks, Neil.
Welcome back to part three of the EvoStick NPL show, live here from the Walker's Factory. Right, so...
excuse me, the Tyrrells.
Round the table, we've got...
which is football and apps.
If you want to know who's on the show,
Tom-tirals.
If you want to know who's on the show, just go back to the start of the show and have a look at the original introduction. James Hayes is here though from the NPL Facebook group, sponsored by Evo Stick, and you can get involved with all the fun and games and all the banter, all the NPL banter that goes on. At what website?
Facebook.com/groups/CNPL, or on Twitter at the NPL group. And welcome to the four people who I'm guessing who are from the NPL group as well.
Don't do showbiz.
There
don't
we go, thank you.
Don't do showbiz.
Hey, like that, bigger than the NPL group. today
is Wednesday the 5th, November. Remember to get correspondence, James, and you've done that.
Indeed.
And what's come back? And what have you asked, more importantly?
So basically, your last month, what do you think of it? Was it an explosion for you? Oh, was it just like them little fireworks that you get near the end and no one cares
bangers.
About? Yeah.
Sparkler.
Yeah, thank you.
An indoor firework. Have you ever seen the indoor fireworks? They're lame. They are lame.
Seriously.
Right, so here we go. Starting with Mark Joyce from Buxton. Very poor month for them. Please don't give us a team of the month again. Told you, cursed last month. Paul Smart, poor start of the month for Stourbridge, made even worse by a shocking injury to Ben Billingham. But since then, the glass boys have started to spark into life. All the best to Ben Billingham as well. Trevor Oakley from Darlington, good month for them. 9 wins in a row, including 7 clean sheets. David Osborne from Rushall. October started okay, got worse, considerably worse, and then got a little bit better at the end. Jonathan Wood from Scarborough, decent enough, 7 goals, but they lost the manager. Stampy.
Hey, good old Stampy.
Thanks for the beer, Stampy.
Yep.
Cheers, mate.
That was a year ago now.
We need more for him. Stampy, more beer.
Hit and miss for Stamford. We can go and beat Ilkeston away on Monday and then lose at home to Barwell on Saturday. That's not a bad thing to me, but at the moment, no. Martin Cooper from Salford. Only won 3 of the 6 league matches, lost 2 cup games and conceded 6 against Kendall. Really bad run of form. Alan Bateson of Bamber Bridge. Still punching well above the budget and up to 6th in the league.
Yes.
And Phil Lindley from Matlock, decent start. The verdict's not in yet on Matlock's new management team. Saturday should be interesting at home against Kelmsdale.
Anything from our friends in Division 1 South?
Not this month.
Let's turn our eyes to Division 1 South. Sutton Coldfield Town are tearing up the league. Congratulations to them. Currently out in front, played a game less than the team in second, a point clear.
Breaking news, I've seen them.
Sorry.
We're here.
Yeah.
Against Newcastle Town.
What was that like?
Top of the table class.
Did you get some interviews?
It was in the FA Trophy.
What was it like anyway?
It's weird down south.
Mint sauce on mushy peas or not?
Well,
that is weird, not having mint sauce.
I asked for gravy and I got a funny look. Yeah. Anyway, Newcastle Town. That's a weird ground for a start with the cycle track around it. But, but it was decent. I had a decent day down there. It was the FA Trophy match, but it was the two teams at the top of the league at the time, and it was a decent game.
I was going to say, Sutton Coldfield, fantastic. They're doing all right this season.
They are doing all right.
Yeah, Sutton Coldfield, they've come up nice and steady, warm to the task, and now we're up there on the top of the division. And to be honest, I still go with my dark horse prediction of Newcastle Town for the league.
Swampy, your thoughts in Division 1 South without mentioning Stafford, Rangers or League Town. Can you do it?
I can indeed, because Michelover Sports are doing tremendously well. They've only played 13 games, 34 points. They are the team, really, that are actually on fire at this moment in time. They win their games. They've won, for me, even at this early stage of the season, they've won the league. However, they've got to play New Mills in the FA Trophy. That could actually be the game that the wheels come off, because New Mills, I know they're doing particularly well at this moment in time in their division, but they've got a great result against Mosley in the FA Trophy.
Well, we'll be discussing relegation Division 1 North shortly. Anyway,
we've got a part four.
Ben, we're Michelover. They've played 13 games, but 8 of them have been at home.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things. Oh, admittedly, they've won 3 out of 5 away from home as well, so they are doing very well with that.
What's your point?
But they're not quite settled. they've not had as much time to see how we're going to do away from it. Things settle out when you play more. You know.
Is there anyone else in that Division 1 South?
Goole.
Great pies.
Gresley, obviously, have got a new management team as well, haven't they?
Goole, with a manager who's an ex-professional footballer, also going back into the boxing ring in January. You know, going to, I think, light middleweight rather than just middleweight. No, so going to middleweight rather than light middleweight. They did really well in the FA Trophy. They've got through to the next round. They beat Prescott Cables away from home. I think if they can get that run in the FA Trophy, that's going to help them within the league as well. And he's a good manager. And I've got a feeling they're going to be there or thereabouts. They're a playoff contender for me this season, most definitely now.
We're talking about Goole now.
Yeah.
Right, I said Goole at the start of the season, but looking at the form, they're good at home, but they're bad away. They played 8 games, they've lost 6 of them away from home. They're not very good on the road. To be more consistent in the second half, they need to change that.
Right, Division 1 North.
We've got to mention the bottom end of the South, Stocksbridge. We mentioned them last month. Yeah.
Yes.
That they were right down at the bottom. We're all surprised they've pulled away. We thought they would, and I do think the bottom two will probably stay there.
Kidsgrove, I've just got a new manager in Peter Ward, and Peter has got excellent contacts. You know, he can work on a very limited budget. He has really good knowledge, local knowledge of footballers with decent, you know, with decent pedigrees, and he can get them playing for him. So, you know, although Kidsgrove are down there at this moment in time, they might struggle this season, but I think they'll pick up.
Final word, Mr. Barman, what do you think the chances of Sutton Coldfield are for this season?
I don't know, I don't really watch the division, to be honest.
That's the correct answer. Right, so Division 1 North, it's all happening at the top. Everyone assumes Salford City will run away with it. Obviously, there's games played issues here. But we've got Drolsden, who I believe Burke made a punt about in the season preview show. He said, I wouldn't be surprised.
I said there was a name that my eyes were kept on being drawn to. And yeah, they're in second place. I mean, obviously Salford have played a couple of games fewer than them, and Darlington, who are heading the table,
it's shaping up for a cracking second half of the season.
I think it's going to be, the only problem is I don't think Drolsden are going to be involved in the top two. I do think it's going to be between Darlington and Salford. Although saying that, Salford have had a little tricky run, haven't they? They've not been convincing the last few weeks. They only just crept past Osset, Albion, was it?
Osset
Albion. The unicorns have found out yesterday, which I was quite pleased about. And they haven't been convincing at all this last month. They need to sort themselves out a little bit, I think, this month. But I think they'll come good again, and I fully expect them to be up there, them and Darlington, by the end of the season.
I had this conversation with someone this week, and I think Darlington are going about the business quietly and all the focus is on Salford. They're not potentially bringing it on themselves, what everyone's talking about them because of what's happening at the club. Darlington are just going about the business. And
teams like Drolsden and Darlington are lucky this season because you've got Salford City, obviously, and you've also got Warrington Town having a good cup run. So the attention's off them completely, isn't
it? Yeah, because last year, the more the focus was on Darlington, and they kind of suffered under the pressure, and Curzon took advantage of that. And this season, it could be the opposite.
What's interesting in regards to Darlington, I watched them against Ratcliffe Borough, in fairness, and Ratcliffe Borough bossed them for the vast majority of the game and could have been 2 or 3 nil up, and they ended up with a 1-1 draw. Darlington arrived late, players changed on the coach, and I think their midweek form, depending on how far they have to travel, although they have to travel a distance at every game, may be an influential factor this season. They're a good footballing team, they play some good football.
If you want to mention Darlington,
you know, well, to be honest, what I would say is that it's no coincidence that the financial clout of 6 out of the 7 teams at the top there are all making a difference. The only other one I would put in that category would be Warrington, and we've already discussed them. You know, at the end of the day, they're where they are, maybe because of a backlog of cup games mounting up. And but we've played Droylsden, you know, on the other night, Monday night, and came out narrow defeat in a 3-2 result. I think they're a decent side, you know, all the ways round. But I don't feel that they'll be one of the main contenders for that title.
I think Droylsden will be up there. They'll miss out on the playoffs, but they'll be in the top eight.
They're going to be up and down. There's a lot of players coming and going still within the team, and that's hard to maintain a position of second or third throughout the whole season when you're bringing players in, losing players. So Dave Pace has got a big job ahead of him.
One of the big things I would say would be, to be honest, have a look at Scarborough, how they cope without Rudy Funk being there. Like, you know, that could be a little bit of a telling factor. He had a decent relationship, you know, with the players, with the board, and with the spectators there, you know. So that's another little factor to maybe look at, you know, whether or not they can sustain what they've already put into the season.
The player, the fan that had his name tattooed into his head.
Oh, yeah.
Rudy Funk, he's not there anymore. Is his tattoo now defunct?
And on that note, lastly, the last word goes to you, Ian Burke. Ironically, you were the first word, so this is good.
Oh, brilliant. Well, it's come full circle here. What do you want me to say?
You said you wanted
top end. Oh, yeah, well, it was about Droylsden. They need to sort the defence out. Simple as that, really. Once they get that sorted, they'll be fine. But until then, like Stu says, I think they're going to be in the playoffs at the end of the season.
I'd just like to also say that we're just keeping Ratcliffe's position warm in the league, okay?
Right, that is the end of October.
Can I just say, I don't think Podium will finish bottom.
Okay, that is the end. Well, that is the end of Evo Stick End. That is the end of the EvoStick NPL show for October.
It already feels like, Ben, our Christmas edition, doesn't it?
It does.
Tonight,
God help us.
Language.
God help us and you, the listener.
Anyone still playing with those
dominoes?
Nope.
No.
Right. We'll be back next week with EvoStick Extra.
Come on, the Extra.
And we'll be back later on in the month to bring you another monthly instalment of the EvoStick NPL show.
Can I just ask a quick question?
Yes.
Why has Roy Sewell got a sort of Eastern European cage fighter sat next to him?
Why are you here?
Secret.
Secret. Asking a secret.
I don't want
really
to.
You.
No,
this is my Bosnian bear.
Right, so that is the end of the show. And remember, wherever you're going to support, cheer on, endure your EvoStick NPL sign in the next month. Make sure that you enjoy yourselves. And remember, Warrington Town fans.
We don't care about Hyde at the moment.
No.
We will do next season.
But Hyde, just to be preemptive, you're more than welcome to join us next year. Right, so from everyone here at the Magnet, farewell.
Good evening. That young lady's fallen asleep in the corner. She was asleep in the corner.
How rude of me. I haven't gone round the table. Thank you to Stuart James.
Why, thank you, Ben.
Thank you to James Hayes.
Thank you.
Thank you to Ian Burke.
Cheers, Ben, thanks.
Thank you to Swamper.
You're very welcome.
Thank you to Roy Sewell.
Thank you very much, listeners.
And thank you to Roy Sewell's Bosnian Bear.
Goodbye. Facebook.com/group/the MPL. On Twitter, @the MPL group. And thank you to the magnificent four behind me as well.
Behind you, they're in front of you.
That is it. I'm done here.
EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.